One more week. You have to ask Louis if you want a copy of that. So anyways, if you're new with us, we are in this series, Psalm 23, the most popular psalm in the Bible that many of you have grown up memorizing, but what we've been doing is walking through each passage, each verse, and unpacking it. And it's helpful for us that didn't grow up on a sheep farm or in the Middle East or at the time of David's writing, understand what exactly is God trying to show us. And in this psalm, this very familiar psalm, it's like this is what God is provided as the good shepherd. This is what he's doing for us. Here's a list of the things we've talked about so far, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, meaning he will supply all that I need. I'm talking about what we need, not what we might want, but the deepest needs. If he's your shepherd, he will supply all that I need. If he's your shepherd, that he will make me lie down. Sometimes he needs to make me lie down so that I will rest and calm down and not be so stressed out. That he will lead me to still waters to gain refreshment, to be restored of my soul. Then no one can restore our soul, only but God. And that's what he will do for us. That he will guide me in the right paths. We've got so many choices. Do I take this road? If we allow the shepherd, he will guide us in the right path for his name's sake. And that he is with me, even in the dark valleys. That he may even lead me on a path that will take me through the valley of the shadow of death. But I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me, even when it's hard. And then last week we talked about how that he will comfort me with loving discipline and tender care. That he loves us enough to take the rod out and to discipline us so that we would turn direction and go in the right way. He'll take his long, gentle staff and draw us to himself and show us how much he cares for us and loves us. Now, if he is not your shepherd, then God is not going to be able to do these things in your life. This is what he does for those in his flock. Is Jesus your good shepherd? Have you trusted him? Or are you just trusting in religion? And some of you said, I have trusted in Jesus, that I have surrendered to him back in the day or recently. Well, if we let him do these things, he will do them. He's not a shepherd that will just grab us by the ear and drag us in the direction that he wants us to go or make us do certain things because he's so mean. No, he's so kind and gentle, and we have to let him do these things in our lives. So you may be going, I haven't experienced this. Well, you're probably running away from the shepherd. Or you're not letting him do what he wants to do in your life. I had a lady last weekend to pray with afterwards. It was a wonderful conversation. In the conversation, she shares that, I've been coming to this church for 4 months, but I grew up in a religious home and I checked all the boxes and said the prayers and did all the sort of things, but it wasn't personal. And the light came on. It was like finally came on the first week of this series that the Lord wasn't her shepherd and she surrendered. And now it all makes sense. Now she sees God working in her life. So he is the Lord, your shepherd. All right, so now we're at the second to last verse that says this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I'll get to that in just a second, but you anoint my head with oil? Like, really, I don't want people pouring oil on my head. I put shampoo in my hair to get the oil out. That sounds weird. Well, I'll explain that. My cup overflows. What does that mean? We'll get there. But this first part, it doesn't make sense. That you are the good shepherd and you love me, then why are you preparing a table in the middle of my enemies? I mean, who does that? If you're surrounded with enemies, who sits down and takes time to eat? I mean, you're preparing for battle and you got your equipment on, you got your gun ready to go, and who sits down in the being surrounded with enemies? And God, if you loved me, why don't you just defeat my enemies? Why don't you just run off my enemies? God goes, no. I want to place a table. I want to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies when you're surrounded, because it's in the battle that you see my power. It's in the battle that you see my power at work. It's in the battle that you realize just how weak you really are and how much you desperately need me. And it's when you need me, you can see me. It's in the presence of your enemy that I work my best work. Central point this morning is this, is that it's in the middle of the battle that God provides everything that we need. It's in the middle of the battle that God provides everything we need. Many times we just want to run from the battle. We want to hide from the battle. We want God to take the battle away. God goes, no, then you won't see my power. It's in the middle of the battle when we are surrounded with our enemies that God provides everything that we need. There was a commercial a few years back of a headphones, Beats headphones, and they chose several professional athletes who the enemy team and their fans were harassing them. And the one that was really relevant here several years ago was when the battle between the 49ers, my beloved team, and the Seahawks. And it was intense, and it was super heated. And I had to block several of you from Facebook because you're being mean to me. but there's a Beats commercial with Colin Kaepernick, and the team bus pulls up at CenturyLink, and the bus begins to be surrounded with Seahawks fans, and they're banging on the bus, and they're throwing eggs at the windows, and they're screaming, and they have posters about how horrible you are, and you're a joke, and this and that. He's listening, he sees all this, and then he pulls out his Beats headphones, and he puts it on. And the noise goes away. And he walks through the middle of the bus and out the bus, and the fans are going. And he can't hear anything. He walks right through the middle of them into the stadium. And this whole idea is you can shut out your enemies if you would just purchase Beats headphones. The picture that I want you to understand is that you don't run from the battle. But you need something. You need something to help you focus in the middle of the battle to do what you're called to do. And you don't need Beats headphones. You need God. And it's in the presence of your enemies that God says, I have prepared to take care of you. I will provide everything that you need. And you're not going to fully understand that until you engage. Don't run from the fight. I will be with you in the battle. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemy, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. I told you last week I'm going to do something different. It's outside my comfort zone. It's going to be way outside some of your comfort zones, but I can't teach it up here. I need to come down to where you are. And I pray that this verse will never be forgotten again, that this verse will come alive in ways that you've never seen before. Some of you are way better looking out here than up there, and you are gorgeous. I think I'll take you home with me. That's my wife, by the way. Okay, I just want to let you know. And some of you like sitting up front, so you don't have to look at the side screens, because the bigger I am, the fatter I look. How's it going, my San Jose friends? A motley group of high school guys, college guys right here. Oh, okay. Some of you are like getting really nervous. Really nervous. And I could walk around, but I'm just going to cut right through here because it's awkward. Sorry about that. And that really why I came over here, Janet, is because Ron falls asleep all the time on Sunday. And so I wanted to be closer to him to keep him in line. Well, no, I really came here because there's a table prepared. There's a table prepared. And in the passage, it's not just a little table. It's a feast. See, God doesn't do anything halfway. Aren't you glad? He prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. And I'm surrounded with enemies. Okay, not really. Okay, but I want to teach you down here, because in life, we are surrounded, right? What kind of enemies do we have? What's the phrase? Our greatest enemy is who? ourselves, right? I am my biggest enemy. And our past mistakes haunt us, and they surround us. And then when we wake up, they're with us. When we go to bed, they're with us. And we go, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I dated him. I can't believe, you know, and they haunt us. That's why the Bible says, keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Don't look behind. Because that's not how you live. Enemies around us. We're all tempted in different things, different ways. And it's like we're surrounded with temptations. And the big enemy, Satan, wants to deceive us and to destroy us. And he's always after us. And sometimes like, God, where are you? I'm surrounded with enemies. Some of you go to work and go, I am surrounded by enemies at work. That God has placed me with a bunch of horrible, frustrating people. Can you just like transfer them? Some of your greatest enemies has supervisor or boss by their name. And we want to run from them. God goes, no. In the middle of your battle, I will provide everything you need. Some of you, your homes are more of a battlefield than a place of refuge. And some of you, you're like, I can't talk to my kids anymore. Or you recently gone through a divorce, and everything about your home and former marriage is just haunting. It's like, I'm surrounded by negativity and hurtful comments. Maybe your body's falling apart. You just got from the doctor and you're like, I got what? I'm too young to have that. Or as you get older, your body just goes on strike. And you're just like, everywhere I turn, I just can't do what I used to do. And it's like, I wake up with pain. I go to bed with pain. You ever been depressed? I have. It's horrible. It's like it's with you all the time and you can't do what you want to do. You don't have the strength. You don't have the will. And it's like, will I ever get my head above water? And God says, in the presence of your enemies, when you're surrounded, when you're like, I can't get away, my thoughts, my relationships, my hurts, my pain, my past, God goes, it's in the presence of your enemies that I have prepared a table. And that table is more like a feast for you. For you. So if you're taking notes this morning, first thing I want to talk about this is that God gives us an invitation to sit with him at the table. The God of the universe, not some foreign, distant God that, you know, put the universe in place, spun it in place, and then took off and is not interested. No, God of the Bible is interested in your life and in your relationships. And he made you and he crafted you and he's gifted you. And God gives us an invitation to sit at the table that he has prepared for us. Do you know what's at God's table? Grace, all the protein of grace. We don't deserve his goodness. You know what's at the table of God? His truth. It's bacon. I sure wish I was Jesus and could divide it and feed the thousands. But I can't. But his truth in his word provides us what we need. God surrounds us with blessings, sugar and carb free, that meets our needs when we need it. God gives us juicy forgiveness. Like the God of the universe, I was so bad, I was so horrible, and he forgave me. See, God invites us. God invites us to have a seat at the table. We don't deserve it. And he just pours out his love for us. And if anybody of you know me, well, I love orange juice. But I'm a sinner, and so I won't share. But he pours out his love for us. And then you invite me, you give me the opportunity to sit at your table. Wow. So is he your shepherd? You see, Jesus, when he was here on earth, he referred to himself several times that I'm the good shepherd. They understood that. They understood sheep and shepherd and sheep poo and all that sort of stuff. And in John chapter 10, he tells them that he's the good shepherd, but he warns them that there's others out there that are not good, that are there to harm you. There is a real conflict, spiritual conflict of good and evil. And Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 7, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. And all who have come before me are thieves and robbers." He's really talking about fake spiritual leaders, that they're there just to rob you and steal from you. He says, "But the sheep have not listened to them." Verse 9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." You don't get saved by religion. You don't get saved by ritual. Well, if I say this many prayers, if I attend this many services, if I know this information, Jesus is saying, "I'm the shepherd, and there's a sheep pen, and there's one gate." And he says, "I am not only the good shepherd, but I'm the gate. And you get saved, you come through me. That's the only way." And he goes on to say this: "Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." Are you in the good shepherd sheep pen? And then he warns them, verse 10, he's talking about Satan. "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." See, the Bible is so filled with pictures. And when Jesus is on the cross, he's referred to as not only the shepherd who lays down his life, but he is the sheep. He's the perfect lamb, the perfect substitute for my sin and yours. And when we trust in Jesus, we go through Jesus, we receive his forgiveness. And the only way we're saved is through him. He says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." So when he sees, he says, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons, he takes off, he runs from the sheep. Why? Because he says the wolf attacks and the flock scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Satan doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your family. He doesn't care about your career. He's all about, "Let me steal, kill, and destroy you." God goes, "I care. I'm the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd." He says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And then there's this verse 16. I love this verse because in this culture, you know, the Jewish people thought that God only loved Jews, and he hated everybody else. And Jesus really irritated the religious leaders because he started talking about Gentiles. And to them, that was anathema. That was like, "What are you speaking of? God hates the Gentiles. Spit out Gentiles." And Jesus goes, "If you're not Jewish, this is for us." He goes, "I have other sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also." I love that. "They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Isn't that beautiful? Are you in the sheep pen, the flock of Jesus? And it's amazing grace that he invites us to sit at this table. We don't deserve it. So I gotta move to this chair to do different things. So I need someone to replace me. Tristan, you're home from college, so can you sit here? Can you take my spot? Don't mess with my orange juice, though. So Tristan is representing all of us. All of us that have trusted Jesus as the good shepherd. So Tristan, you're in college. God wants to help you, right? And Demetrius is your friend that God needs to help you because he's, you know, he's kind of a crazy guy.
Yes.
And God doesn't want you to go off to college and just leave him here and leave your Bible here and your church here. He goes, I want to be with you every step of the way. And Tristan, so I want to provide for you. So Tristan, here's a picture. When you need it, there's this verse. Go ahead and take one. See, you're like, oh, I want one. There's like a verse like you need. And God knows that day, you need that verse. Have you ever read the Bible and go, I have read that passage 100 times and I never saw that. God goes, I know, it's hiding your eyes. But today I want you to have this because in the presence of your enemies, you go ahead and eat it, man. Here's a napkin. Your mom's here. Make sure you have good manners. Just, I want to provide for you. I'm not gonna put you in a situation, you know, that everybody loves Jesus. Okay, that's not. I want you to be a light. I want my power to go through you. So I will be with you. And he represents. How about you're in the Navy? God goes, I know where you're going off out to sea. I want to provide for you. I want to bless you. I know that you're home alone and your spouse is away. When they leave, everything seems to break. That I will be there in the midst of that, and I will help you. And there's times when God encourages us with some juicy fruit. You're like, you know what? You think that encouragement came, go ahead, came, you know, from a friend or whatever. And it goes, I'm just using them. I want you to know that I know where you're at. I know what you're going through. Here, have another one. I just want to bless you because in the midst of the battle, I provide everything that you need. And you know what? You may not even know this. But your mother is praying for you when you don't even know. And that prayer from mom is a blessing. Could I hear an amen from all the mothers?
Amen.
It is a blessing. The effectual, fervent prayer of mom avails much, James says, kind of. All those are blessings from God. Because I don't want you to run away from the battle. I don't want you to run and hide. In the battle, in the presence of your enemies, I have prepared a table for you to meet your needs and to let you know that I care for you, I love you, I got your back. It's like, wow, what a personal God. Some of you have never known a personal God. You've gone to church, it's all corporate, it's all ritual. No, the God of the Bible loves you, knows everything about you, knows exactly what you need when you need it. Now, did I say this? I'm not sure if I said this for your notes. We have the power to choose who sits out at your table. Do you realize that? We have the power to choose who sits at your table. Now, if you have a relationship with God, it's like, I want God all the time. Why? Because I need God all the time. But if we get to the place that, you know what, God is a little inconvenient and his truth is uncomfortable, we kind of say, God, can you leave me alone? And you know what God does? He says, I'm never going to fully leave you, but I'll leave you alone. Our country has been blessed by God, but our country has asked God, could you just leave? You're irritating to us, and God has done just that. Okay. And what's happening? Everything's falling apart, right? So God's presence never leaves his children, but he'll walk away. And in that vacuum, we can invite other entities to be at that table. And Satan, who is all about stealing, killing, and destroying, he'll take this seat. And he's like, I'm going to lie to you. And I'm going to deceive you. Because every time Satan opens his mouth, it's a lie. And he's going to say, Trent, come on. You're in college now. Bible, you don't need that. That's for like little kids. So this, like, you don't need that truth and that protein. You don't need this prayer. Prayer doesn't work. Because if God really loved you, he would have healed your aunt, whatever. He doesn't love you. You don't need this. You don't need all that. Come on, that's just like for children. It's a crutch. He lies to us. He says, you know what you really need? You need to find some friends. And let me tell you how to party. And just drink some more. It's just one drink's not going to do anything. Well, here's another one. Why don't you do another one? In fact, let's just kind of numb your pain and your frustration. And if we listen to him, we're just falling right into his trap, right? And what is he all about? Stealing, killing, and destroying. You know what you really need? You don't need God. You need a girl. And just fool around and sex is awesome. Everybody's doing it. What do you mean you're going to save yourself from marriage? Oh my goodness. Pressure, pressure. He's not a stupid enemy. I'm trying to steal your purity and kill your future and destroy you. See, we have the power to have someone sit at our table. Who are we listening to? And if you're a follower of Jesus, and the only time you hear about God's truth is on a Sunday morning, you're anemic. And you're probably going to hear more from the wrong messages that doesn't really care about you. He just wants to reel you in to destroy you. And he'll mock all the good stuff that God has provided for you. Here, take one more for the road. Can we thank Tristan there? Can we thank Tristan? Thank you. Jesus is the good shepherd. And there are thieves and liars in the form of friends, in the form of media, in the form of whatever, to draw us away from the good shepherd. It's who we choose to listen to. It was about a year ago that my wife and I had the worst day of our life when we found out she had cancer and it was aggressive. And the first night we didn't sleep. We were just like shocked, numb, like what? And then the next day, Cancer Institute's calling. Our heads were spinning. And then the second night, my wife's crying in bed, and I didn't know what to do. I remember walking, I think I went and got something to drink, and I'm walking upstairs in the dark, and I just call out to God, man, I am feeling so much, I'm surrounded, and this thing is too big. And I remember thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help her. What about, and I just said, God, I need you. Show me something. And in the pure dark, as I'm walking back into the room, God spoke to me. Now, he didn't do it audibly, because I would have fainted, but he gave me a name of a pastor that I hadn't listened to any of his podcasts for over a year. So when God speaks, he usually, you know, that is not from me. And if it's a lie or against God's word, you know that it's the enemy who's a liar. And he said, Jim Cimbala. Like, oh, the pastor in Brooklyn. I need to listen, because I need help. So my wife had fallen asleep. I pull up my phone at night, put the headphones on, found their website, found their media page. And he had a recent message, and the title was simply Trust. That was the theme. Pushed it. God had a message that I needed to hear. The passage was 2 Chronicles 20, where King Jehoshaphat had an approaching enemy, and they were right around the corner, and he said, we don't know what to do. It's too big. I'm going, that's exactly what I was crying out to God with. And I said, I need help. And God met me in the middle of the night, in the midst of the enemy trying to lie to me and defeat me. And God goes, I'm going to provide you everything you need right now. And as I'm listening to this podcast, I just started tears coming through my mind. I was like, God, thank you. It was exactly what we needed. The next day, my wife and I were going to go to the Tulip Festival and got on the ferry. And I said, honey, we need to listen to a podcast. And we were like one of the last cars to barely get on the ferry. And we're in our convertible and we plugged it in. And both of us were just streaming with tears. So here's our good shepherd in the midst of our enemies. He said, here, I got a table for you. I got exactly what you need to hold on for the next day or week. It was longer than that. And there's these verses that God gives, or a song that God gives, that is not coming from Pastor Mike on a Sunday, or it's not coming from the radio. It's like God is saying, I am speaking to you because I'm your shepherd, and you're in the midst, you're surrounded with enemies, and I know exactly where you're at, and I know exactly what you need. And I want you to just drink up, I want you to eat up, and I got something for just you right now. But we only have that when he's sitting at our table. He's sitting at our table. Well, now, the passage goes on. You anoint my head with oil. What? You see, we tend to think that the biggest, or the enemies of sheep are like lions and bears. Some of the biggest enemies that a sheep faces are little pests called flies, ticks, gnats, and mosquitoes. And when the summertime is happening, the springtime, they have these little pesty things flying around them, and sheep go crazy. Do you ever have irritants in your life? Don't point. And they're just pestering you, and these little creatures will burrow themselves into the wool and start sucking blood and start biting and scratching, and sheep get crazy, and they get all nervous, and they start running all over the pasture trying to get away. If I run fast enough, I'll get away from these creatures. And they run sometimes to the pure exhaustion, and they drop. And some sheep get so distraught that they find a tree and start ramming their head against the tree, trying to kill those pests. And they're just bloodied. And what a shepherd does is he takes a certain kind of oil and puts it on the top of the sheep that is a repellent to the pests. And the pests kind of move away a little bit. And the sheep gets a little peace and comfort. And then a couple days later, they put the oil back on, and they get through the summer and spring months. See, God knows what you need, and God knows what pesters you and drives you crazy and is an irritant to you. And then in the colder months, it's mating season. And the boy sheep start strutting because they want to impress the girl sheep over there. And then another boy sheep goes like, I saw her first, and I'm going to, get her. And then they start butting their heads and go, whoosh, start slamming their heads, and blood's going everywhere, and they're trying to impress the girl sheep, and the girl sheep goes, I'm not even like you two, I like the guy behind you, so what the shepherd does, because now you got conflict going on, he takes a different oil, a thicker oil, like castor oil, and he puts it right here, big thick dose of oil. And Philip Keller says he's watched some boy sheep, they're all, I'm going to try to impress the girl. And they have this big oil slick on their head, and they go, bam, and they slide off, because like, pew. And he says it's like he can read their mind of they're awkward. They stumble away, and they kind of gather themselves, and he can almost see what they're thinking, like, well, that was stupid. And then they just walk away. They just walk away. Why? Because of the oil. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the picture for the Holy Spirit is oil, oil. And he says, if you're a follower of me, I've given you the Holy Spirit. I've given you this oil that's with you always. And that you need to be filled with the Spirit, because we got conflict all around us. We got irritants, we got enemies, and there's irritating things in your life, and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you respond the way he wants you to respond. In fact, we had a series in the old auditorium that has no air conditioning, and it was called juicing. We went through the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. It's called juicy. What comes out when life squeezes you? And if you're not walking with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, then every irritant's going to come out, and it's going to be messy. But if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're anointed with oil from the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, what comes out is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, gentleness, self-control. So in being surrounded with a different enemy, pest. Some of you work with them and live with them. If you're anointed with oil, the pests don't leave, but you respond different. You respond in a better, healthier way. He anoints my head with oil. Then the last phrase is that my cup overflows. If you're taking notes, my shepherd provides more than I need so that I can share them with others. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemy, and it is full. It's a feast, and he prepares more than I need just so I don't gorge myself. It's not that I can be a blessing to others. I can share to God's goodness and grace and mercy with others. That's why he gives us what we need and more than what we need, because he says, you know what? Remember that Bible verse that was like a lifesaver to you? And then you come across a friend who's going through something similar. Guess what? You can say, hey, this verse meant so much to me, and I want to share it with my friends because it was such a blessing to me. That wasn't my verse. All right, I didn't write it. It was God's. And you know what? This situation, some of you are like getting nervous over here. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be an encouragement to you because God has blessed me. You know what? I want to be a blessing to those around me. So here's some words of encouragement that were really helpful to me. That just to remind you that God loves you and knows exactly what you're going through. See, we think it's all about us. No. How can I be a blessing? Here, take the whole plate. how can I be a blessing to other people? You know, people were praying for me. So guess what? I'm going to pray for others. Oh, you can go ahead. You want to take the plate? Take the plate. Pass it around. We have no other service after this. Anybody want cold eggs? No, never mind. And you notice the closest people around you are the ones that get the blessing. You see, when my wife and I go through good and hard times, how we respond spills, overflows to our girls and to people closest in our lives. And God strategically places us in the presence of enemies and even hard things because he wants to show his power to us, that he will supply everything that we need, not just for ourselves, so that we can be a blessing to those around us, that our cup overflows. And if your cup is not overflowing, you're not at the table. You're not eating what God has provided. You're spiritually anemic. You're not really feasting on what God has provided for you. You prepare for me a table in the presence of my enemy. God says, I don't want you to run from the battle. I'm going to be right there in the middle with you, giving you what you need. And I have this Holy Spirit, I have this oil that I want to anoint you with so that when pesty irritants and conflict comes, I don't want you to go crazy running around life and banging heads into trees and people and causing, you know, wakes, disaster all around you. I want you to be anointed with my oil so that you can go through life and you're actually a blessing, not an irritant to other people. And I want to bless you so much that your cup is overflowing so that you can share what I've done in your life with others. Some of you have a story that you have not shared because you're like, I don't want to get the credit. It's not your story, it's God's story that somebody needs to hear at your place of work, a friend in your life. Again, not bragging on me. It's not about me. Can I tell you about my God? Can I just brag on him? Because my cup is overflowing. Is the Lord your shepherd? He wants to do this for you. Are you letting him? God, thank you for using David. In a very difficult time of his life, he looks back as he writes, every battle I was ever in, God, you prepared a table in the middle of it, and you provided me what I needed. and you anointed me and you blessed me. Lord, may we sit at your table and take in the nourishment and be a blessing to others, especially those closest to us. We pray all this in a spirit of thankfulness. We say thank you, Jesus, for being our good shepherd. Amen.